Hi, I'm Sam.
And I'm Phoebe.
And this is the first episode of the CBM podcast. We thought we'd start this first episode with an explanation of what we're doing here and why. So, why have we started this podcast? There's basically four main reasons. Firstly, we want to raise awareness of the CBM and the work that they do. The awareness of our brothers and sisters around the world and the different cultures and challenges that they have and that they face each and every day. We also want you to understand better how the CBM works, its structures, the people involved, and to have a better idea of what's going on around the world in the context of how that affects our brothers and sisters worldwide. And also to encourage you to get involved in supporting the CBM in whatever way you can.
Each episode, the main event will be an interview with someone or some people who have done CBM work in one shape or another. We're going to hear about the trips that people have gone on, the work that goes on in between trips, and the work that happens more behind the scenes in correspondence courses, translations, and so on. We'll hear some great stories, learn about the kind of work that goes on, and talk to various brothers and sisters about how mission work has shaped their lives and their faith. We're also planning on giving you some updates of news from the Brotherhood worldwide. In particular, we'll be focusing on areas where there may be times of real hardship or difficulties, or areas where something amazing's happened recently. The final major aspect of this podcast will be to give you some ideas of the opportunities there are to get involved. This particular section is obviously a little thin on the ground at the moment, what with travel restrictions as a result of COVID, but we'll still do our best to tell you the best ways that you can help support the CBM.
This episode we spoke to Jem and Laura Morgan from Cardiff, mainly about their roles as link man and woman to the Czech Republic. Jem gave us some really helpful overall introduction to the CBM, and they told us some great stories and thoughts from their work there. Enjoy. So, Jeremy, please can you give us an introduction into the CBM?
Okay, I'll just tell you just a few minutes on what CBM is all about and its aims and objectives. So, basically, CBM was set up as a preaching organisation, and that's largely what CBM continues to be. So, the prime aim is to spread the gospel message. So, it's going back all the way to the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, where he said to the disciples, go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. So there's four CBMs in the world. There's CBM of the UK, which looks after largely Europe and Africa, also parts of the Middle East. CBMA, which is looked after by brothers and sisters in North America. So they look after South America, the Caribbean. You've got the ACBM, which look after Asia, South Pacific, all those nice places. There's also the South African CBM, and they look after places such as Lesotho and other places, very, very southern South America. So we're going to be talking about CBM UK. So mainly I think the work is we're going to be talking about the work that we do in Europe and Africa. So it is all about spreading the gospel message to those four corners of the earth, which is what we're trying to do. What we also, of course, need to do is once that gospel has spread and ecclesias have been set up or brothers and sisters are in situation, we then have a duty to support them by providing welfare, by providing support wherever necessary. And there's a verse that actually it was quite a way into working with CBM that I came across one day when we were doing the readings. I thought, wow, that completely fits what we're doing, especially what we're going to be talking about in a few minutes with the Czech Republic. So this is just after the Jerusalem Council in Acts chapter 15. So it's Acts 15:36, and it says, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. So there's two aspects of CBM which are encapsulated in those two verses. Preaching is the primary thing, and then it's about supporting and visiting and seeing how people are. I absolutely love that verse in Acts. It's one of my favourites. So that's a bit about what CBM is all about.
Thank you very much for that intro. So Jem and Laura, in your own personal experience, can you tell us a little more about how you got involved with the CBM?
Okay, so the first time I was involved was back in 2005. And I was asked by the then link man from Malawi to go on a visit with him and a few others. So Malawi's in southeastern Africa, where we have many thousands of brothers and sisters. So I went out there as part of the team and got involved in all different aspects of what we were doing, whether it was teaching Sunday school, talking to young people, giving exhortations, Bible classes, preaching talks, that kind of thing. So that was really going in quite at the deep end, actually. One particular part of that trip that I will never forget is being told on a Sunday morning that this morning's breaking of bread will be a little bit different, because we wouldn't be going to an ecclesial hall. We'd actually be going to Zomba Prison. So within a prison in Malawi, there is an ecclesia, and there's about, well, at the time, there's probably about 20, 25 brothers there. It's a male prison only. So you walk into this prison, and everything's in a courtyard. So they've got an outer wall, then they've got a kind of an inner square of cells, and then there's a great big courtyard in the middle. And on a Sunday morning, they've got all these church groups meeting together. And there's sort of all hustle and bustle. People who aren't part of any of these services are just wandering around and, you know, doing what they do on a Sunday morning in prison. But we had our little group there. We had another group next to us. And I was standing there giving an exhortation to these brothers. And behind me, you've got all these prisoners who are just milling about and wandering about. And you're thinking, okay, could somebody come up and stab me in the back or attack me? You know, are these dangerous people? Are they just, you know, petty criminals? It was a bit of an experience.
Yeah.
So that was really going in at the deep end.
Wow.
Yeah. So yes, that was the first experience of CBM work, was going to Malawi. Yeah, Czech was 2012 was the first one.
We weren't even going, like, that was more of a holiday for us. That's when we went to the first
Bible weekend.
And then we went to the next one, and that's when we sort of got involved. You were asked to
get involved. Start going on trips. The weekend trips.
So now you're involved with the Czech Republic.
Yes.
Can you tell us just a bit of an overview of the country, like how many Christadelphians, where
okay.
they all are?
Yeah, let me tell you a bit about Czech Republic first. So if you're not aware, then Czech Republic was part of what was known as the old Soviet bloc. So this was one of the communist countries in Eastern Europe, very much under the control of the Soviet Union, very suppressed. You couldn't really have any kind of religion at all. It wasn't allowed.
You weren't allowed to meet together, were you, in people's homes?
Like
that was considered to be a risk to the government.
Yeah, it was looked on suspiciously, wasn't it? That if you met in other people's houses, we'll come on to that, because that's a factor even nowadays, as part of the culture. But no, you if you met together in groups, you were looked at suspiciously. It all had to be organised. So any kind of organised religion was pretty much no-no. So anyway, back in the late 1980s, early 1990s, when the Iron Curtain fell, Czech Republic was one of those countries that emerged from the breakup of the Soviet Union. So communism was done away with, in came democracy. So Czech Republic was probably, of all those nations, it's probably the one that kind of westernised first. So if you look on a map, you can see that it borders Germany, it borders Austria. So in terms of exposure to kind of more Western civilization, Western ideas, that was probably the one that was closest to it anyway. Which in some ways is good, because it opened up the country a lot in terms of freedom. People were able to move around and, you know, talk to each other and do as they pleased, if you like. On the other hand, though, what that has done is presented problems in terms of it's become a very materialistic country, just like any other Western country, like, you know, the country we live in. So all of a sudden, people have got freedom, but they don't want religion necessarily. They want to have the cars and the clothes and the brand names that everyone else in Western Europe's got. So it's a blessing in some ways, in that, yes, the Iron Curtain's come down, it's easier to preach. But on the other hand, it does come with problems in terms of materialism, and that generally people aren't interested. But the preaching there started kind of early mid-90s, a couple of campaigns. A lot of people showed some interest. A couple of early baptisms during that time. to the point now where I think about the maximum was maybe about 12 brothers or sisters scattered throughout the country, and now we've got seven, isn't it?
Yeah, a few of them have died.
Yeah.
And we don't seem to be able to generate much new interest.
No, it's slow, isn't it?
And going back to what you were saying about people not really wanting religion, we've noticed that it's men in particular.
Yeah.
Aren't interested. It's very rare to have a man who's interested.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why that would be. But there are some lovely sisters. The men seem to struggle. Don't know why.
Yeah. So there's, I think it's always been the case where the sisters have considerably outnumbered the brothers in Czech Republic.
So I suppose, does that make your role, Antilora, much more important?
Easier, probably. Yeah.
That you're the sister?
Yeah, I think so. They like to have a sister go along to see, partly because the families of these sisters don't really want men going into their apartments to meet with them. It just looks a bit funny. So if you have some ladies going along as well, and it makes it easier to have small talk.
Definitely. Well. Absolutely.
You already have a language barrier. You have to have a translator, so that to have a sister there to speak to them about things that they might be suffering. I can remember one sister, Dagmar Senior, she was really worried because her ex-husband, who she's not on amicable terms with, he doesn't sound very nice, he cursed their son. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Mm.
And she was having trouble with that, and I think the brothers were trying to sort of reassure her from scripture, which was quite right, but she didn't seem to take comfort from that until I spoke to her about it. And then I think she thought, oh, you're a mum and you can understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then she seemed to have her mind put at rest a little bit. She, even though she's a Christadelphian, I think these kind of like traditional kind of superstitions and things still kind of lurk in their background and in the culture and things. So
there's obviously a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes as well as on trips. Can you talk us through what the day-to-day sort of life of being a link man is?
Most of our sisters are elderly, so it's a little bit more tricky to keep in touch
with
them.
However, COVID has actually opened up an opportunity that we didn't have, well, we should have had, but we didn't think about having, and I think they probably didn't think about having until Zoom came along, and now we meet once a month
and have a break and a bread.
Which we didn't do before.
Yeah. So generally, what we'll do during it, I'll go through a 12-month period. It won't take long.
It'll take 12 months.
So generally, we'd have two or three visits per year, and they would be long weekends. So that would entail flying to Prague. We'd meet with the Prague sisters and the one brother there. We'd have a breaking of bread with them, and we generally do a preaching talk in a hotel, which we would advertise beforehand on our website. Then what we do is then go on a little tour of the country. So we'd head east into Moravia, the eastern part of Czech Republic, and meet our sisters in Brno. We've got two there. We've sometimes had a couple of public talks there as well. Then we also visit a couple of sisters in isolation as well. So we visit a sister who's kind of way out in the east, up kind of towards the Polish border in a place called Nowy Jyczyn. Sister Dagmar, I really miss not seeing her because a couple of times we've been and she hasn't been able to see us because of ill health. You go into her apartment, so she's got a bathroom and then she's got one other room, which is her kitchen, her living room and her bedroom. And it's kind of a typical Soviet block type flat. And that's all she's got. And then she's got all these different knickknacks and trinkets and stuff all around the place and pictures of her family. But she's just so lovely. And I think she especially takes a shine to the males, doesn't she?
She loves them.
Yeah.
She was like this to you.
My boy! She comes up and grabs my cheeks, my boy! or whatever that is in Czech. but they're just so glad to see you because they're in isolation. So they don't see anyone else. You know, they break bread about three times a year.
Oh. Plus the Bible weekend.
And then there's the Bible weekend as well. So that's the other main part of what we do during the year. So we'll have a weekend in Prague where we'll invite, anyone's welcome to come along. And it's like a mini Bible school, basically. So usually a UK speaker, translated talks for the sake of our Czech sisters and for our interested friends who might come along. Four or five talks, little trip into Prague, and it's just lovely because, I mean, the sisters there, that, you know, they say that it's the highlight of their year, and they just absolutely love it because they've got maybe 15, 20 other Christadelphians whom they're not used to being with, and, you know, this is their, really their one time for a big fellowship event during the year. So they love it, and we love it too. So that's basically what we do. We visit our brothers and sisters, we do a bit of preaching, and then we have the Bible weekend as well. And then there's also online activities going on as well. You know, we do have a website, we've got a Facebook page, so we'll post things on there as well. And that's probably about it in terms of the activities we do.
That's lovely. What really stood out to me was the great fellowship that you have with the brothers and sisters over there on your trips, and being able to introduce them to so many new faces each year. It must really be their highlight. So I wonder if either of you could share your best moment or best memory of your time in the Czech Republic.
The one that I think, that I've got two really, and they both involve Nora.
The Nora first, is the translator.
The translator, okay. Yeah, so she's really lovely. She came with us to Brno that one time when we were doing a public talk in the hotel. Yeah. And she was more disappointed than we were that when no one showed up. She was like, oh, come on, let's just stay around just for a few more minutes. And someone walked through the door and she was practically skipping when they came in. And yeah. He said, you know, it was Thomas, wasn't it? Thomas,
yeah.
And he's been in contact with us ever since. And she's like, doesn't matter, because we only had about 15 minutes left.
Yeah.
And she spoke to the hotel staff. And they said, yeah, you can use the room for as long as you need to, because we're not booking it for anything else. It was getting a bit late. So you gave the talk, mm-hmm. and he was the only one in the audience. And Nora was kind of like translating just for him, very earnestly. Yep. So that was lovely. And then the other one was when she had an upset tummy.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember? And it was really funny, because this made the language barrier quite apparent. We were driving around sometimes like 2 hours between people's houses. And as soon as we got there, she had to dash off to the toilet. And of course, we couldn't say anything to them. So we were all just sitting around smiling at each other until she finished. And she, poor thing, she was very embarrassed about it, wasn't she? She's like, I'm so sorry. She's a big part of why it's fun, I think. She's a really lovely person.
Yeah, one memory that always comes to mind as well is when we go and see Sister Inka in Brno. And again, she's lovely. She's got all kinds of issues that she's had to deal with in her personal life. A little bit quirky in some ways, I describe her as.
Very unique.
But anyway, you walk into your house and you take your shoes off, as you do walking into most houses. And then she presents you with some slippers.
Each guest
has to have some slippers. Now, of course, she's female. Generally, on the trip, you might get two or three males, one female. Which means that one of the males has to wear female slippers.
Pink fluffy ones.
Pink fluffy slippers. Or nice slippers with feathers, but she insists that you wear them. Amazing. So you're trying to sit there being all serious, wearing some nice fluffy slippers.
If you have any pictures, we'd love
No pictures. You'd have to take my word for it.
But yeah, that is something that they do there, isn't it? They're quite, like, it's an etiquette, isn't it? You have to take your shoes off at the door and wear something else.
Dagmar, we've mentioned before, there's a lovely story about her brother, actually. So he actually escaped the country. And I think it was late 50s, late 60s, something like that. And from that time, her family, because her brother had fled the country...
They were persecuted.
Oh, well, I was going to say persecuted.
Yeah, no, they were really
They pretty
wealthy.
Much were, weren't they?
Yeah
they had basically all their assets and wealth taken away from them.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, she's... Her and her family pretty much living in poverty ever since. And she once the wall came down and, you know, she was able to leave the country, she went to see her brother, because he then got to Australia, lived in Australia. And just a few years ago, and she must have been talking to him and talking to him, we found out that he got baptised in Australia.
Cool. That's how she came in contact with the truth, though.
Was, yeah.
She went to Australia to see him. He'd had a drink problem at the time.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I'm not staying here. I'm going for a walk. So she went out and she came across a Christadelphian hall.
I think so.
And the first people she went, when she walked in and she went up to, were Czech. And then she became interested and came into the truth. And then, like you say, he did eventually as well, brother. Which is lovely because she was despairing of him for a little while.
Yeah.
Because he had this problem.
Ooh, you know, this, goosebumps.
There are stories like that all over the world, but you know, when you hear them like that and you think, wow, you know, God really does put a lot of effort into calling people. And I think for them, they can see that too, and they truly value the truth because of that. Mm. You know, they can really see God working in their lives to call them, which is something really quite inspirational.
Yeah, it's really faith strengthening, I find, stories like that. Is there anything or anyone in particular that has had an impact on your faith in the work that you've done?
For me personally, it's not one person, but it's the sisters' actual... the fact that they don't have an ecclesia to come to. Mm. I mean, sometimes we get a bit fed up in our ecclesias and we think, oh, you know, and you see the negatives. But then when you actually go somewhere where there is no ecclesia to speak of, no meeting place, and you think, if I didn't have someone to rely on or come to, or even just, you know, you go to the Sunday morning meeting to have your way of thinking readjusted for the week, and they don't have that. So that made me think a lot more differently about the privilege of having an ecclesia.
I think we do often take ecclesial life for granted, don't we? And the fact that we can go, you know, 3-4 times a week.
Mm.
So it's always quite humbling when you come back and you realise, well, actually, you know, what have we got to complain about? Absolutely nothing. When they can meet with brothers and sisters a couple of times a year, if that, you know, we haven't met with them now for nearly 2 years.
You're right, it must be so hard for them being isolated. We take our ecclesias so much for granted over here. It's always worth getting that fresh perspective on things. So for those listening who do want to get involved, where do you recommend they start?
Well, I mean, I would encourage anyone who's interested to look at the website. And there you'll see all the different country profiles, you'll see different stories. There's quite a big section on there about how to get involved. And if you are really keen, then there is, you know, there is a form that you can fill out. It sounds a bit formal form. But it's just basically to register your interest and say, yeah, I'm interested in getting involved. And, you know, and then the work then is for CBM to try and match up your expectations, your availability, your skills, language skills, you know. Anyone who's got language skills, please come and help. That's always, you know, something that we're looking for, whether it's French, Portuguese, whatever. Or if you want to learn a language, try and learn something that we can use in CBM world.
Learn Czech.
Learn Czech, absolutely.
You know, I will give you a medal.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, those language skills are invaluable. So, yeah, register your interest, whether you're male, female. You know, as we've hinted at, there is such a massive role for sisters. There's a huge amount that sisters can add.
So for the final part of the interview, is there one particular take-home point that you'd want to share with people listening?
Get involved.
Yeah, there's something for everyone.
There is.
Learn a language, if you can. Anyone.
Thank you both so much for your time and for sharing those truly remarkable stories. Please send our love and greetings to the brothers and sisters in the Czech Republic on your next trip.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
So what's the current news from the CBM around the world? Well, as COVID restrictions have been relaxed, a few trips have been able to happen recently for the first time since lockdown. There have been 2 trips to Africa, one to Tanzania and one to Uganda, and trips to Norway and Denmark too. There are other trips planned in the future, God willing, dependent on COVID travel restrictions.
Many teams are still meeting online with our brothers and sisters in the mission field, which is a significant blessing for those in isolation, although it doesn't quite replace person-to-person visits. These meetings are really good to join, and the brothers and sisters from around the world really appreciate being able to meet new people and have further support. Some meetings are held in different languages, so I know of a French breaking of bread. And those of you who speak a different language, or if you're trying to learn a different language, it would be great if you could consider joining these meetings. If you could contact Paul Boyd, the CBM secretary, at secretary@cbm.org.uk for more information on that, that'd be amazing. Also, whilst we've hopefully still got your attention, we'd like to direct you to the CBM website, where you can find loads of information on how the CBM works. There's country profiles, there's information on upcoming visits and information on how you can get involved. There's also a page about Project Aid, which is a scheme whereby a group of people can help brothers and sisters around the world to buy something that they really need. For example, in Namisindwa, which I hope I've pronounced right, in Uganda, £100 will help to buy a bike to help brothers go preaching. Maybe you could get a group of friends or your ecclesia together to fund one of these projects. Whilst we're talking about money, we'd also like to tell you about Amazon Smile. This is a program that donates 0.5% of your purchases on Amazon to a charity of your choice, and we'd love you to make that charity the CBM. All you need to do for that to work is to shop at smile.amazon.com rather than at amazon.com. The donation doesn't cost you anything, it costs the Amazon Smile Foundation, and it is just a really easy way of helping the CBM.
Lastly, the third Saturday every 3 months, there is a CBM information session at 10 a.m. online, lasting for an hour, on various topics. Information on joining that is generally circulated by your ecclesia. So we come to the end of our first podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please like and share with friends and people who you may think are interested. If you have any questions, please contact us at podcast@cbm.org.uk. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring good tidings of joy. Thank you.